Alaskans, wherever you are, welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show, coming to you from somewhere in Alaska. This is the place where we talk about, you guessed it, Alaska, where we keep the mainstream media on their toes, and where we are standing up for what's right in a world run by leftists. You can find out more by heading over to mustreadalaska.com, and also checking out the Must Read Alaska YouTube channel for some really great content. But first, let's get this party started.
Welcome, everybody, to the Must Read Alaska Show. I'm your host, John Quick, coming to you live from somewhere in Alaska. You're in for a special treat today, so people. We have a very special guest today, somebody who is running for president of the United States of America. So without further ado, welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show, Jason Palmer.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this will be exciting to chat with you. Super glad you're joining us today. You are running for the president of the United States of America. That's kind of a big deal. Talk to me about why you're running.
Well, the main reason I'm running is because we need to pass the torch to the next generation. I'm 52 years old. I've been investing in entrepreneurs in their 20s and 30s. And earlier in my career, I was an entrepreneur myself. And there are quite a few people who don't go into politics or don't go into government anymore because they feel like it's become seedy. You can't really get things done. And they're choosing to try to change the world for the better on the outside. That's my community, the conscious capitalism community. And I talked to enough people about the fact that no one from our community had ever run for president, and enough people encouraged me that I said, you know what, at least maybe I'm going to get conscious capitalism on the radar, the new collar economy, the things we're building all over the country with nonprofits and for-profits, public-private partnerships. And I think I have gotten us on the radar. So mission accomplished. And now on to the convention.
Nice. Well, I think it's fascinating that you come from a private sector background, you know, helping entrepreneurs, being an entrepreneur yourself. Talk to me about why you think that's important to have somebody like yourself in the mix as opposed to just career politicians.
Yeah, I think a big part of why Donald Trump was attractive to so many people in 2016 and even still now is because he has been a successful businessman. He's had some failures along the way, but he said he was going to come to Washington and shake it up like a business person would do. And those of us in business, you know, we know that if a company loses money 22 years in a row, like there's some serious problems. And, you know, for example, the federal deficit is a big issue of mine and many of the people that support me. We can still do great things with government. We can be more efficient. We can run government like a business. But it doesn't have to be a business that includes, you know, racism, sexism. Like we don't need all the bad things that come with Donald Trump. Like there's a way to get a lot of people who are entrepreneurs into government to make the country better, to make our government better, without getting all the negatives that come from someone like Donald Trump.
So you were, I think, the only one to beat Joe Biden in a race. Talk to me about what that was like and the work that went into that.
You know, it was, I would say, strategy won over dollars is really what it is. We only spent $5,000 in American Samoa. And we did the basic blocking and tackling. I hired three great people on the ground on the island who know people very well. It's actually five small islands, but one big island. And Miracle, who led the team, she delivered a miracle. I mean, her name is right there in what happened. You know, it was a small number of people actually showed up for the caucus, only 91 people. But still, to win against an incumbent president, I've heard, is almost unheard of. It hasn't been done in 40 years. And I do think if Joe Biden and his team had spent as much time, you know, doing Zoom town halls, helping with a beach cleanup, talking to school children about how they can change the country, they can grow up to be president themselves someday. Like these are the types of things that I did as basic campaigning.
So what are you hearing from folks on the ground? Are they excited with the direction of the country? Are they looking for a change as you're going around the country talking to folks?
It's super interesting. So there's kind of common things that people bring up: housing affordability, healthcare issues in their family, you know, job security. Like AI comes up a lot more than I expected. And I'm a technology entrepreneur, and I have an AI solution on my website where you can ask me questions. It's really an avatar of me, and I'll give you answers. And, you know, people are worried about their jobs. They're worried about their healthcare. They're worried about how expensive things have become. But it's strange. The national polls all say that, you know, 2/3 of people want a different choice. But in the primaries, for the most part, Trump and Biden have gotten 70 to 90%. So, very recently, just last week, I announced I'm launching a new organization called Together, exclamation point, that's going to try to elect 20 common sense people to Congress who are also like me, entrepreneurs working in impact investing or conscious capitalism, to Congress this fall. And both red and blue. I mean, I usually wear a purple tie. I'm not wearing a tie today because I'm in casual mode. It's a Friday. But, I do think we need to get back to working across the aisle, being civil, being collaborative. And, it's the exact opposite of what the polarization of the last 10 years has brought.
I'm assuming you're running as a Democrat. Do you think there's a need for a third party to be in place that's viable, that's kind of center of the road?
I am more third party curious than most people, but I am running as a Democrat. I've been registered as a Democrat for more than 10 years. Actually, probably three quarters of my adult life, I've been a Democrat. And for a short while, I was also an independent. And I do think the country would benefit from a strong third party. But at the same time, I don't think No Labels is that party. The Libertarian Party, I agree with them on some things. The Green Party, I agree with them on some things, but they've never put forward, a really serious candidate, those other parties that are on the ballot. I'm friends with Andrew Yang and I like the Forward Party. I donate to the Forward Party. So I do think our country in the long run would greatly benefit from having three or four parties. But at this moment, there is really a two-party duopoly, and I'm much more aligned with the Democrats, but I respect my Republican counterparts who I want to collaborate with.
So let's talk a little bit about your background. It's very fascinating. What do you think about your background has set you up to run for something like this?
Well, I think a lot of it has been entrepreneurship. 70% of the good quality jobs in America come out of startup companies, and I've been working in the startup arena for almost 30 years now. I sometimes think I'm younger than I am, I guess, because 30 years is a long time. And I've also worked in the technology arena. And I think understanding technology, we're in the middle of a giant technological revolution, not just AI, but everything about the internet, mobile. We're coming into a VR world that's slowly emerging here. More and more people are spending time online instead of outdoors, and there's good and bad that come from that. So I do think the country needs somebody who understands technology, understands the power of entrepreneurship, and is not, completely outside of government. So I'm an outsider, but I worked for Senator Moynihan, who's a senator from New York back in the 90s. I've been on the board of the Smithsonian, the National Zoo and Conservation Biology Institute. I was on the board of the University of Virginia. So I understand how public institutions work. But we need business mentality to revitalize them, change things like how people are hired and promoted, how much people get paid in government, how we even do our accounting. Right now, the way it basically works is, all these money being invested in chip factories is expensed by the federal government instead of treated like an asset. We haven't had a really good balance sheet for the federal government in almost 10 years, which is kind of crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, they passed these ridiculous omnibus bills at the end of the
Right.
year. And it's like, most people don't realize what that is. And sometimes I don't even realize what that is, but it's
They
not a
don't even have
great
time to read it themselves. That's what's so crazy about it. And that, there are a lot of people in Washington. They take a lot of crap. I'd say 70% of the people in Washington actually want to do a good job. And unfortunately, the media hypes up the 30% crazies on either end of the spectrum. And my goal with Together and with this campaign is to say, let's get back to focusing on the people in the center who actually want to make the country great again.
So let's say it's day one, you've won. What are some of the first things that you'd do as president?
Yeah, so number one is dreamers are overdue for a path to citizenship. These are people who've lived here in the United States for almost all of their lives, 10, 20 years in some cases. I would immediately institute an executive order to give them a path to citizenship under the existing law, which I believe is possible. Secondly, the Gaza. We should stop sending military aid to Israel until there is a change in policy there. And, Biden is like slowly but surely getting to that policy with abstaining from the recent UN vote and the difficult conversation that he had with Netanyahu just yesterday. This doesn't mean we're opposed to Israel. or opposed to Jewish people. I have many Jewish friends. I love my Jewish friends. And it's more about the Netanyahu government being not focused on the humanitarian disaster that they're causing in Gaza.
What about on the fiscal side? What do you see? You mentioned a little bit about it, but what do you think? What do you see that really needs to change for the U.S. to have some fiscal plans that make sense instead of, December 5th voting on a bill nobody's
Absolutely.
read?
Yeah. So what we need to do, and this is, probably a reason why people in both parties are afraid to talk about it, is, three quarters of the government is Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and the defense budget. And what we need to do there is we need to actually take a hard look at those things. And there are ways to tweak Social Security around the edges so it won't change for anybody who's 50 years or older. But we need to actually put it on a solvent path for people who are under 50 years old. That is overdue. If we don't do anything, the Social Security Trust Fund is going to be depleted in 8 years. So we actually need to address that now. Secondly, Medicare and Medicaid, there are numerous changes we need to make to those programs on a regular basis, both to make healthcare more affordable for people and also to make it more affordable for our budget. Those are overdue for update. And then in the defense area, mostly relying on friends of mine, there are, we need to be spending more on things like cybersecurity, drones, space defense, and then less on things that are more related to wars of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, tanks, far-flung bases in places where they're no longer necessary. I would put together a bipartisan commission on that and have them come up with how exactly do we retool our military, modernize it, while at the same time decreasing the amount that we spend on it.
What about your thoughts on energy production? For here in Alaska, there's going to be a lot of folks that listen to this in Alaska or around the country that like Alaska.
Yeah.
And, we produce a lot of the country's energy. And Biden has issued, I don't know, something like 30 administrative orders that's directly affected Alaska's ability to provide energy to folks in the United States. What's your stance on energy production?
My stance on energy production is that we need to provide more incentives for the green energies that we know we need to move towards. We need more solar. We need more wind. We eventually need to have hydrogen. But this doesn't mean we need to attack the fossil fuels of the past. This means we actually just need to provide more incentives for people and for geographies to transition over to the new fuels. And so, in some debates, people have said, that they're in a war on coal or a war on oil. I don't believe in that at all. I think that those actually are not just essential, they're going to be a huge part of our nation's use of energy over the next 20 or 30 years. And we got to have a sensible transition that's based on incentives, not mandates.
So, you've got some a win under your belt. You have ideas that you're throwing out there. What are some things that you maybe got into this thinking one thing, but now have learned something different since?
So many things. I have to make a like an article or a book about all the mistakes that have been made along the way. I mean, I have never run a professional campaign before. I haven't even run for school board or Congress before. I've been building businesses my whole life. And so at the very beginning, we didn't even realize some basic things, like we didn't get on the ballot in California. And there was actually a way we thought we had to get 20,000 signatures, and that was going to be a very expensive proposition. And then we learned, well, actually, no, if you're already on the ballot in two other states, you can just send in a letter that says you're on the ballot in two other states, and voila, California will let you on the ballot. We completely missed that. And so I'm still kicking myself that I wasn't on the ballot in California with all the friends that I have there and how much I think my message would have resonated there. So that's one example. We are on the ballot in 16 states and territories. And if I do this again in the future, I know I can get to 50 states now because I actually know the ins and outs of the state application process that I didn't know before. But other things are fundraising. I knew fundraising would be difficult. We raised $50,000 for our campaign, which supposedly is pretty good for your first campaign. But in an election where you need to raise $1 billion to run for president, it's really like a drop in the bucket. But now that we've started this new organization together, we have big fundraising events coming up in New York, San Francisco and in Austin, Texas. And I think we're going to raise more than $50,000 in those three events. Now that we've kind of figured out the fundraising machine, how it works, which we didn't understand at all before.
Nice. So who's somebody that you've looked up to that's given you inspiration, that's kind of been a hero to you?
Well, Senator Moynihan is an easy choice because I worked for him back in the 90s. But I would also say among presidents, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, very much admire them. Ronald Reagan, even to mention a Republican as well, or even going back further, I would say Dwight Eisenhower. I really do think we've had leaders. We've been blessed as a country to have great leaders who've served two terms, who've actually moved the country forward. They usually pass 3 to 5 major pieces of legislation. Almost always, they're bipartisan in nature. Those are some of the more recent presidents. If you go way back, Abraham Lincoln is probably my favorite president. I'm not alone in that. I think most historians agree, because of the way he kept the country together, ushered in additional amendments after the Civil War was over, emancipated the slaves. There's so many good things to say about Abraham Lincoln.
Well, let's say again, it's day one. I think a lot of folks have, they talk about bringing people together, but it's another thing when they win and then their entire cabinet is only just their party. Do you think you'd be open to having people in the Republican Party in the in your cabinet as a show of
Absolutely.
bringing people
Yes.
together?
100%. Yeah, that's something that I've talked about on the campaign trail. I do think I would look for everybody to be purple in some way so that they would actually say, I'm a Republican, but I've already proven myself as someone who works across the aisle on these particular pieces of legislation, or maybe they're a governor from a state who actually has proven their bipartisan purple bona fides.
Nice. What do you think that that's a missed opportunity for presidents in the past to maybe not actually reach across the aisle and get folks in their circle that have different viewpoints?
I do. I mean, multiple presidents have tried that in the past and had, between 1 to 4 cabinet members who are from the other party. And they have events where they bring people together, up at the White House. But one of the things I've said, if I'm elected president, I'll do is I host Jeffersonian dinners. I've done more than 40 of them in the last 6 years. And I would actually bring together people from Congress and the administration, and we would eat together. We might even televise it so that people can hear you voicing your concerns. We would talk about legislation to help regular people understand, like, why is immigration so hard to pass? And I would try to avoid inviting grandstander type people to those events so that it would be truly more of a, modeling a civil discussion over a dinner table. Like, there's an organization called Braver Angels that actually does these type of bridging exercises where they bring together people in communities from, different sides of the aisle or different political backgrounds. And, if regular citizens can do it, so can our Congress and our White House.
Well, where can folks find your information? They're going to be curious and want to look you up. Tell us of,
Sure.
where they can find you on social media and your website. We'll put all that in the description as well for folks listening in, but wanted to give you the opportunity.
Absolutely. So go to palmerforpresident.us and you'll find my positions on 25 different key issues of the day, things like immigration and Gaza that we talked about, or the balanced budget. And then also, if you're a young person who's thinking about running for office this fall and you want to run for Congress, or if you want to run for a state position, look at togetherpurple.org. That's the new organization I've founded, where we're going to raise money and donate to 20 people who are running for Congress this fall who are younger, entrepreneurial, purple in their mindset as well.
Nice. Well, any last minute thoughts here, Jason? 20 minutes has gone by in a flash. The floor is yours.
I would say the number one thing is we need to return civility to our politics. And although right now I'm just one tiny voice with three delegates, I do think that this is the beginning of a very large movement of the 80% of us that are in the middle and that believe in common sense solutions, believe in technology, believe in progress, and think we can work together across the aisle. And I hope this is the beginning of reversing the terrible polarization of the last 10 or 20 years.
Well, I'm a registered Republican, but it's been fun hearing your story and hearing what it's like on the campaign trail. And I'm sure folks will look you up and see what you're all about. And I'm sure that it'll be a very fun experience being able to have three delegates and going to the convention.
It definitely will. And I should also add, I've been to Alaska twice. I love the state of Alaska. And you're one of the states where I didn't end up on the ballot, but you can write me in and I'd be honored if you did.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jason, for joining us. Folks, if you are just catching the tail end here, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the whole thing. Jason Palmer is running for president of the United States. He has three delegates, so he gets to go to the convention, which is very exciting for him. Folks, if you want to help support Must Read Alaska, just go to mustreadalaska.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little donate button. Every $5, $10, $100 helps keep the lights on here at Must Read Alaska. If you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com. And until next time, I'm John Quick from somewhere in Alaska. Thanks so much, Jason, for joining us.
Thank you, John.